My stomach just rumbled then. Oh god, I hope the camera microphone doesn't pick that up. Welcome to the Fangover podcast, where we romance all things that go bump in the night. I'm Suzanne from Under the Covers Book Blog, and I am joined by
Francesca from Under the Covers Book Blog.
So, Francesca, I just wanted to say I developed a real dislike for anyone who's a Taurus. Not particularly because I didn't like their character traits, but I very much struggle to find them represented in romance, or at least paranormal romance, fantasy and sci-fi, which is what we're looking at. It was very, very frustrating for me. But I did find some. I did find some eventually, but I'm not feeling kindly towards the Taurian population right now.
I struggled immensely myself, and I can't say that I have a dislike for them because my husband is one and my mother is one, so have plenty of firsthand experience with Taurids. However, it was hard. It was a challenge.
It was definitely a challenge. I found stuff though, but let's give you some facts first about these bloody Taurians. So, born between April 21st and May 21st, they are, here are some of their traits, and you will see now why in romance you may not find very many Taurians. So they seem fairly laid back, but they're meant to be deep thinkers, but can actually appear to be lazy, which isn't always true. Sometimes they're just having a deep think about something. They aren't great listeners, as they are too busy thinking or really busy not thinking at all, depending on what's happening. However, they are steadfast and loyal, and if they are interested, and their interest is often hedonistic, they will relentlessly pursue a task or challenge. They are stubborn as fuck, basically, when they want to be.
Yeah, but I can vouch for that.
Getting back, I wonder if you can vouch for this, the insight into Francesca's home life. I said they were hedonistic, so a Taurian likes some nice things. Their priorities are often to do with comfort, pleasure and luxury. They are very physical creatures and kind of materialistic. So I don't know about you, but I definitely myself embody a lot of these characteristics, and I'm talking about lazy. I'm talking about enjoying material comforts. And then I also have the trait of thinking too hard sometimes, but then just not thinking at all at other times. It depends.
I definitely go for the stubborn myself, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can be. It depends. Sometimes I'm stubborn for stubborn's sake as well. Right, my computer's dying. I forgot to plug it in. Right, we will cut this bit.
Oh my god, we're a mess.
Such an idiot. I got up to do that and then didn't do it.
So funny.
Okay, right, I'm back. So okay. That was from my deep, deep research of the Taurus sign. That was my take. So did you get anything different? What is your personal experience with the Taurian population?
So I definitely got a couple of things. Couple of things different in terms of my research when I was just doing my deep dive on characteristics online. So I did find that they're quite independent, down to earth, patient, practical, loyal, dependable, and also that I feel like it's an earth sign, right? So for me, I was trying also to think of books that have an earthy kind of vibe. And it was really hard for me to pinpoint something. So I'm still trying to think. So we'll get to that towards the end of the episode, see if something pops in my head. But as far as personal experience, I don't know that I can go with like the lazy or like appearing even to be lazy, because I have not met a Taurus that is ever like not doing something. So I don't know if I can I can vouch for that. Yeah. But I feel like the big trait that I find with all the Taurus I've ever met is the stubborn. Like, I mean, when you think of a bull, like once they're there, it's like, oh, God. So
yeah,
that's as far as personal experience. Like that would be like a no on the laid back and lazy.
Wow. So I feel like that we both did our research and we both came up with completely different characters. I feel like some of the things you said would have been easier to look for than the things that I found, which does mean that we're going to get like a bigger variety, I think, of like characters that we located, because I really focused a bit on the hedonistic vibe. When I was looking, because I thought that would be quite fun. So the kind of hedonistic and not great listeners, you'll see that some of those.
I mean, that's like that's that. Definitely true. The not good listeners part.
So, like, there are some of the things that I like honed into. I mean, I should have just honed into like the loyal and steadfast, because I feel like there's a plethora of those in the romance genre, but why make something easy for myself when I don't have to? And they're like the relentlessly pursuing something. I feel like there are plenty of stalker heroes that maybe go into that category as well.
Oh, but, yeah,
you know,
definitely they would like probably make good stalkers. Why make...
Yeah. The best stalkers are Taurus stalkers. But for some reason, I didn't focus on those things. I don't know why, but the hedonistic, kind of lazy and laid back thing is what caught my attention. Which, you know, is completely different to the traits that you found. So this will be fun. So I'll start us off. And normally we start off with our Black Dagger Brotherhood pick for a Taurus. And I've got to be honest, drew a complete blank on this. I could not think of anyone who I thought like embodied the things that I had found. And even now, my mind is like just completely blank. I can't think of anyone. So I don't know if you've got a Black Dagger Brotherhood person.
I do.
But if so, just, yes. I can't wait to see who
you picked. We'll see. I mean, I think I'm winging all of my picks today. So we'll see how this goes. But I mean, I think so.
That's good though, because I was just like, I can't think of anyone. So I'm going to start off then with, you know, we're reading the Psy Changeling series, this series of the Fangover. And I was like, okay, so who in the Psy Changeling series? And I found two. First, and I'll explain each one. So Drew Kincaid from Play of Passion. We have met Drew in our read-along so far. He's popped up in the background. If you're reading along with us and you haven't read Play of Passion yet, slight spoilers. But the hedonistic thing, and I thought it made me think of Drew, but also like the relentless pursuit and the way that he kind of pursued Indy. Never have I read a nicer stalker. Like the way that he courted Indy was just like absolutely fabulous. I loved it. And so that kind of stubborn, relentless thing, which he was like that, but he did it in such a lovely way that you might not see it that way. That's why I thought of Drew. And obviously he's also steadfast and loyal.
Yeah.
And I think he has this reputation of being really laid back and maybe a little bit lazy, but he's definitely more than just surface level, but he lets people think that he isn't, because that's, you know, helps him get certain things done for the pack. So that was my reasoning behind Drew. And then my next one is like one of my favorite ever heroes, and that's Valentine from Silver Silence by Nalini Singh, who is a bear shifter. And I love the bear shifters. Well, the bear changeling, because it's book one of the Psy Changeling Trinity and book, can't remember, in the overall.
17, I don't know.
Yeah. And he is alpha of the, I'm going to say Stonewater is the name of their clan, but I can't remember.
I can't remember
but
either.
He's the alpha. But he does, like, again, I went for the laid back. He seems really laid out and chill and kind of lazy, because bears have this reputation of being lazy. But, I mean, he's an alpha of a big clan of bears. He is not lazy. And he does think deeply about things. He's definitely steadfast and loyal. And, you know, bears like their comforts. And they're definitely stubborn. So those are my two, like, Taurus picks from the Psy Changeling and the Psy Changeling Trinity series. I mean, agree, disagree? Did you have, like, I don't know if you had anyone from...
I didn't look for a Psy Changeling one, but I think that I don't remember Valentine enough to make that determination. So okay. I will have to, like, revisit that when we reread it. Oh, but
you're in for such a treat. I love Valentine.
Oh, I mean, I love that book. I think I gave it 5 stars. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, probably all of them. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't remember enough to, like, judge that. But with Drew, I can see where that's coming. Like, probably he would represent the softer, nicer aspect of a Taurus. Like, the more fun side of a Taurus. So I could see that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I was really pleased when I thought of Drew. I'm like, yes, finally. He was the first person that was on my list. So, nice. Yeah, I got him. So, please, you need to tell me who your BDB pick was, okay? Your Black Dagger Brotherhood pick.
Okay.
Tell me.
So, I picked Hex from Lover Mine. Okay. I feel like, so I know that one of the things that I found in my research is, like, emotionally strong, and for a female Taurus, that they can be sometimes a little tomboyish. So that's where I went with that. But also, I feel like she's very independent, practical, dependable, loyal. And I don't know if she would, like, come across as chill just because, like, her demeanor is very serious. No, like you don't see her, like, you don't see a lot of her emotions, you know? Not, like, chill in a laid back, but more of an, you don't really know.
Frosty.
What's going on through her head. But, I honed in on her because of, like, those strong, independent, loyal, practical characteristics.
Yeah. Gosh, we've definitely gone for different type of Taurians because I'm like... she definitely doesn't fit into my definition. Like, she fits really well into yours, because I always feel if she's less laid back, like, more, like, just intense.
She is intense.
Quite an intense character.
But I feel like a lot of what I found is like intensity with Taurus, a lot of the characteristics. Okay. Yeah, I feel like they are a pretty intense kind of sign.
Okay.
As far as, like, emotions and stuff, yeah. We're on polar opposites.
Yeah. People who, like, really know this, like, the Zodiac stuff, are like, what the fuck is Suzanne talking about? She's like, she has not understood this at all. You're right, I have not. I am sorry.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Yeah, Hex is a good one, and I'm also really glad that you picked a heroine, because I'm going to be honest, I've got no heroines on my list.
Most all of mine are heroines.
Oh, good. We're really this, Francesca.
Good.
I was really scrolling through every book I've ever read, and I was just like, nope.
Well, I think it helps that we were looking for completely different things.
God, we really are. So the next one, I mean, we need to go to Ice Planet Barbarian Corner now, obviously. So the Ice Planet Barbarian series by Ruby Dixon. Again, I was scrolling through the books, and there are quite a few. Like, I know Laidback is maybe, I misinterpreted some of the things that I read, but I was looking for Laidback, and there are quite a few, like, Laidback type heroes. But so I went with my favourite, and I'll tell you what, he's my favourite in a minute. But, and I'm probably not saying his name right, but it's Aheko from Barbarian Love by Ruby Dixon. It's the third book in the series, so it's quite early on. And Aheko... or Hiko, I'm going to say Aheko because that's start as I mean to go on. Like, he is, like, laid back. He can appear lazy, but he does end up becoming, like, a leader within the tribe. So he's not stupid. He does think about things. He's steadfast and loyal because all of the barbarians are. He likes comfort and he likes pleasure. He is a very physical creature. And the reason that I picked him over the other kind of laid-back ones is because for a gift for his heroine, Kira, he whittles a dildo based on his penis.
That is a little disturbing if you think about, like...
No, because he's told by... Somebody plays a trick on him, basically, saying, oh, this is a customary human gift that, suitors give their, like, the person they like is a model of their penis.
Make my own.
No, so it's meant to be their own, so that... the person they're pursuing knows, you know, what they're getting in for. So he makes it thinking it's a human custom and he gives it to her as a gift.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, but it's so funny, and it's so funny when she gets it and she's like, okay. And it's that typical, like, is this true to size? Because obviously it's big.
Well, of course. It's an alien.
But he's so charming and lovely. Like, it never feels sexually aggressive, like, just to get that across straight away. Like, it never feels, like, aggressive in that way. Like, the way it's played out, it's, like, a joke, but also, like, funny. She never feels threatened by him or anything. So I can see how that could go the other way, but it never does. It's really sweet. But it's obviously hilarious, and I wanted to mention that as I was talking about this book. So if you haven't read this series, that's what you've got to look forward to once you get to book three. You don't have to go far. And it's amazing and funny. And Aheko is so laid back and chill.
But as, you know, he's giving a model of his penis.
Yeah. And he's definitely stubborn as well. Like, he's definitely stubborn. They all are. But, like, he's definitely a stubborn character. But, yeah, I really liked him. And I really liked that detail of that book. Francesca's got this really judgmental look in her eye as she looks at me, by the way, when I told her that. She's like,
I don't know about this. I don't know.
Of course he liked this. It's very charming.
I'm sure.
Everyone should whittle their penis. It feels like a Stone Age version of a dick pic, almost.
Probably, yeah. Like, there you go. That's probably what the author was going for.
It's a lot of effort to go to. Yes. Yeah. Like I said, it wasn't unsolicited because he was told that it was a human custom.
But it was unsolicited.
Oh, well, unsolicited by her. But,
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. I've said, if you know if you're the kind of person who that, like, little joke would appeal to or not, and it definitely appealed to me. It's hilarious and funny. Francesca's going to secretly read it and not tell me.
Probably, right? I don't know. I've struggled, so we'll see.
Don't worry, I've still got it on the brain about which alien romance I'm going to read next. I've got a list now. I've got a
Pray
list
for
now,
me.
And it will be going out. It will be going out for people to vote on soon. It might have already gone out by the time this is published, actually. But
Pray for me.
Yeah, no, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Okay, I mean, we're getting better so, with each attempt, so.
True. I will get you to love aliens. I will find the pair. I will matchmake you with your perfect alien, Francesca, if it's the last thing that I ever do.
I'll wait and keep trying. All right. So my next Taurus is from the Go Fetch series by Shelley Launceston, and it's Mickey. So Mickey is the heroine in book... Oh gosh, I should have looked
three,
this up.
I think.
No, two. So her mate is Conal, which is like a Viking shifter. But I really honed in on her on like the headstrong, independent, practical aspect and loyal, because she is super smart. But when it comes to this particular series, there's a group of female friends and she's extremely loyal. And within that group of friends, like, she would do anything for them. And she is extremely headstrong. Like, the fact that she is that smart, it lends itself to the practical aspect and the headstrong aspect and independent. And, like, her hero has, like, his work cut out for him handling her, which, I mean, it's kind of like a trait of all of Shelley Launceston's heroines, really.
Books.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Magnus pack is magnificent, though. I love that. It's a trilogy, isn't it?
Probably
my favorite series by her.
Yeah.
Isn't she a scientist?
Yeah, so, she is. She's, like, super smart. Well, there is...
She's, like, a genius, isn't she?
I think there are two scientists. One is, like, from a novella, and then there's this one. I can't remember now which one you're, like, thinking.
Yeah, because I thought she was a scientist because she...
I think she's working at the college or something.
Yeah. And so the contrast in this is that she's really smart, like quite petite and stuff. And then there's Connor, who is kind of dumb, kind of big. And it's just I mean, he's not dumb, but like he's not a genius. Like he's like really easygoing and happy-go-lucky. And she's very much not that type.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's definitely a book that I would recommend a lot. It's one of my favorites, I think, in that series.
Yeah. What I remember most, not the most, but one of the things that stands out is at the beginning, he's talking about having cold showers because he wants her so much. And like, he's really running up the water bill. And then it's never mentioned again until right at the end where the alpha is looking at the water bill and he's like swearing and you're like, oh, call back to the beginning of the book. Is it just me who remembers these tiny details of books but forgets massive bits of the plot?
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I remember the smallest. And I also remember that there's a joke that she throws a ball and tells him to go fetch, you know, the title.
Yeah, the title.
And then he does. And then he does do it. And he's like, what? She asked me to get it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I now want to reread these books so much. I am. God, that's such a good trilogy. Like, if you haven't read Shelley Launceston before, I would say don't start at her newer stuff.
Yeah, start here.
The Magnus Pack.
Yes.
Or all the Pride series, but the Magnus Pack and the Pride series, they're all in the same world anyway. Actually, all of her books are at Shelley Launceston.
Yeah.
But I would still start with the Magnus Pack because it's a really small, tight trilogy and it's just so good. Love it. And speaking of Shelley Launceston, I have a book by G.A. Eiken, who is a pen name of Shelley Launceston. And I realised that we have spoken about this series pretty much every episode for the last three or four episodes.
We really love this author.
God, we really just love her. And that is Gwenveal from the Dragon King Kin series, and you can see this is perfectly demonstrates how Francesca and I have gone completely different ways.
Yep. But I can see it from your, like, from your facts. I can totally see it.
Yeah. So let's say hedonistic is the reason why I went for Gwenville, because he likes nice things. He likes physical comforts. He likes, he has to brush his hair exactly 100 times, 100 strokes. So he loves his pleasure and his luxury, and he's kind of like known for that side of him. He is steadfast and loyal once he finds someone he thinks he should be steadfast and loyal to. So there is that. He definitely is not a great listener. And it's sometimes because he's a schemer as well. So I say, is a deep thinker the same as a schemer? I'm going to say that it is. So
not really.
I'm going for it, because no one really knows how much of a schemer he is, because everyone thinks he's just like this dumb blonde, right? When that really, like, there's stuff going beyond the surface, and he kind of always gets what he wants by scheming. And that's and that was my perfect tourist character. And now there are a lot of people screaming, going, "You've misinterpreted this for sure." But that,
like, to me, he's more of a Leo.
Yeah, I don't know. As you know, I don't believe in the signs, so I don't. I only know what each sign embodies when I get to researching it for an episode. But he may appear again.
Yep, yep.
He may appear again.
We're going to continue talking about G.A. Akin and Shelley Laurenston forever.
Every episode is going to be like a Shelley Laurenston section.
Yeah. So my next one is completely different. It's Mercy Thompson.
What? No. Oh, we have definitely got, because I went through all of the series that I love, and I went through Mercy Thompson thinking, who's a Taurus in Mercy the Mercy Thompson?
Well, because you were looking for a really laid back and likes pretty things part.
Basically, yes.
But, I mean, so artistic could also be part of Taurus, and I did put her in that, in like the sense of like how she's lived her persona, like her life, and also with the tomboyish, like between that and tomboyish with the car mechanic thing. So I was going on that, and then with the emotionally strong, because of everything, you know, that we see in that series, I feel like she is very emotionally strong from growing
for
up.
Sure, sure.
She is also really patient, which I think can be sometimes a Taurus trait, and down to earth, sensual, loyal, obviously, to the pack, and to her newfound family. So, yeah. And I also feel like with Mercy, like what I was talking about before, this being an earth sign and having like certain earthy kind of vibes, I do get a little bit of that with Mercy Thompson as well. So like mixing sensual with earthy, I thought was a good combination with her. And she definitely doesn't listen to like anybody, because like if her husband, I mean, it's not a spoiler, you kind of know they're gonna get together, but her husband tells her to do something. If her husband tells her to do anything, she'll still do whatever she thinks is the right thing to do.
Yeah, she's like, she's definitely embodies stubborn, right? Mm-hmm. Because she is the underdog of that world.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of has to be really persistent and stubborn.
Yeah.
And
she's also like not tricky. A wolf shifter in, like she was raised in with wolves, and she's not. So she had to like almost like excel even more, you know, like prove herself more. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like she's really determined. And
because she, we were saying about the earth as well, and the kind of creature that she is, you learn gradually like who her father is, which is very much connected to the earth, right?
Yeah.
Like it's really like it's elemental, like her race is like almost elemental. So I can see that. That's a really good pick. And I love talking about Mercy Thompson because she's just like one of my absolute favorites. Like, yeah. The Mercy Thompson series.
Yeah, it's an amazing series. And also I feel like I love a heroine that like goes through so much because like she starts out strong and we see her broken at some point in the series.
Oh
and,
my gosh, like, don't you make me cry.
Like seeing somebody like pick themselves back up from that. It was just like, I love her. Like I just.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah. Like she picks herself up from it, but it's not like it ever disappears because there's like echoes of it.
Which makes total sense.
Which it would.
And it even makes her stronger, I feel like, in like that like vulnerability too, because you have that broken side of you, but you're still moving on, but it's still there and you're still facing and it is still affecting you. And like even how she, God, I don't want to be spoilery, but like how she lets Adam help, you know, like slowly and slowly like opening up. So yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah, I would always recommend that to people. It's a great series. And also I recently bought the graphic novel of the first book, which is Moonguld. And that's fantastic as well. Like although the characters aren't quite how I myself have imagined them in my head, It was still great to kind of see a graphic novel version of Moonguld. So,
yeah. You
know, if you like graphic novels or you really like the series and you weren't aware, like they are out there. And yeah, I definitely recommend having it.
I read the first graphic novel of the Alpha and Omega, which is not Mercy. It's Anna and Charles. And that was also really good.
Oh my God, I love Charles. Oh, I need to get that because Mercy might be one of my favorite heroines. And I like Adam, who is, like, I guess the hero, but my actual favourite hero, or in my top three heroes ever, all genres, is Charles.
Wow.
Oh, my God, I love him so much. It's not current levels, because he's all what current is, all from the Kate Daniels series, is obviously always number one.
That had to come in the picture somewhere, right?
Oh, I haven't mentioned Kate Daniels yet, so I thought I would. But Charles Cornick from the Alpha and Omega series by Patricia Briggs. Best hero ever, apart from Karen, from the Kate Daniels series. So, he's so hot. Anyway, I'd say that my next pick, just like moving away a little bit, to something I read fairly recently, is Devraj Kumar from Don't Hex and Drive by Juliet Cross. I mean, you know what I'm going to go for. Like,
yep.
He is steadfast and loyal. He is steadfast and loyal because of, like, the job he does. But no one really knows that he does that job because he has, like, the reputation of, like, a playboy and, like, kind of lazy. But actually, that is not who he is. There's more going on below the surface. There is some deep thinking going on below the surface. And he does relentlessly pursue a task or challenge because that's part of, like, the role that he has, but I also think there's definitely a hedonistic side to him, mm-hmm. and like enjoying like material comforts and physical pleasures and stuff. And you know what, it was less about sex and more about how hungry his book made me.
Oh my God,
because
I agree.
I'm sure we've got an episode, haven't we, about this book. And we did. He was cooking something.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my, this book made me so hungry because he cooks quite a lot in it, I think.
Yeah. It's like the perfect hero.
And that's a physical comfort. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's so good because it was Indian food and I love Indian food and it all sounded so delicious. And so when I was thinking about this, obviously the sex is great as well. But I also kind of wanted him to cook for me because that was amazing.
I agree. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm getting hungry. I'm hungry anyway, but now I'm more hungry. And what I actually have in mind to eat is not really what I want.
It's when
I
think disappointing.
Yeah, like, I want Dev to come round and cook for me and then sex me up.
There you go.
So did you have anyone else?
So I have two more. The next one, I feel like it's a combination between your picks and my picks, because I can see of the things, some of the traits that you mentioned are also mixed in with some of the traits that I was going for. And that is Jin from Devil's Cut, which is the Bourbon King series by J.R. Ward, which I know you did not like the first book. But so this is actually a contemporary romance. And I just had to throw her in because I feel like she probably fits really well. And then when you were talking about your things, I'm like, oh, actually, also, it has some of those. So the funny thing with her is that she comes across as this spoiled rich brat that like doesn't care about anybody and will trick her way into getting whatever she wants. And deep down, like her book is book three. So it's not really like an HEA per book kind of series. Like you have to read all three to get the HEA for all three siblings. But the main resolution of her romance is in book three. And like, I love her character because she is completely different from what she portrays. And a lot of the things that people see, like that facade, are things that she's had to do out of loyalty for either her family or the man she's in love with or whatever situation. So I thought that she was really good in that sense. She's also very independent. And going back to like what I was just saying, like the things that she's had to do are because of the loyalty to her family. I think that it's also coming from a place of strength, you know, because she puts herself in some pretty awful places. But so I definitely would call her practical in that sense. And she's also sensual. And then when you were talking about the hedonistic stuff, then, you know, comforts and all of that, you know, she is a spoiled rich girl. So she does like nice things. So,
yeah.
And with her facade that she portrays, I think that she can come across as laid back and lazy, when in reality, she's doing those things for a particular reason. So,
yeah. I never got that far in that series.
I know. It's definitely a series that you should read only if you really like soap operas, because it's really soap opera-ish.
Yeah. And I do not like soap operas. And I just, like, oh. I was reading it going, oh, rich people problems. I don't care about these people.
So there's like three siblings, and the father gets murdered, and they're like trying to figure out what happened. And like one of them was, I think, kidnapped overseas and tortured, and then he's back and he's all scarred and, you know, like all this stuff. And yeah, definitely I had my favorite moments in that series. I don't think that as a whole is 100% strong, but my favorite book was Jin's book, which is book three. I gave that one 4.5 stars. So I think that wrapping up like the whole series, it does make it worth it. But again, if you like soap operas, because it's like 100% like watching one.
Yeah, no, it wasn't for me, but you know, I'm a picky bitch, so that's why. So I don't really have any more books, I don't think, but I started then thinking about TV series and like characters from TV series. And so my first one is Trevor Belmont from Castlevania, which is available on Netflix. And series four has just come out, and I haven't watched it yet because I basically need to just clear an evening so that I can watch them all at once, because it's one of my favourite series. And Trevor, how to describe Trevor? So he's kind of a, I'm not going to say disgraced nobleman, but basically all his family are dead and he's kind of on the road and penniless. alcoholic, so there's that hedonism, I guess. Like, he likes nice things, but what the nice thing that he likes is alcohol, at least at the beginning of the series. But he is steadfast and loyal, but to an extent, like, loyal to the mission that he's basically a dragon, a monster slayer, sorry. And he does relentlessly pursue that, and he is definitely stubborn. But he definitely is also kind of lazy as well. But he is amazing, and it is a great series, so definitely watch that. So that's Castlevania. The next one is, I don't know if you've watched this or not, I think you have, and it's Klaus from Umbrella Academy.
Mm-hmm. I watched the first season, I think. Or in a little bit of the second.
Oh my gosh, how have you, did you not binge watch that? I, like, again, I started watching it and then I could not stop. So Klaus is the really cool one. And he is definitely hedonistic. Definitely, for sure. Also steadfast and loyal to an extent. Like, I feel like loyalty amongst the Hargreaves siblings is very much tested throughout this entire series, but yeah, they all somehow end up together and helping each other out, kind of. It's complex, and he's definitely stubborn, definitely lazy-ish, but life has not been kind to him in some places. But no, so I thought of Klaus, and also one of my favorite ever characters. He was so good. And that's kind of it. They were the two that came to mind. I don't know if they're perfect Tauruses, but
we'll go with
what I had. Yeah, like, I feel like I've got Taurus completely wrong anyway, so it's just an excuse to talk about Castlevania and Umbrella Academy. I mean, Castlevania, I want to go back to because I love it so much. So if you like kind of quite, I mean, it sounds really, it's really different to the books that I like to read, but it's quite dark and bleak. It does have its lighter moments. It's super violent. Like, it's animated, so you don't always expect it, but it's super violent, kind of anti-religion. It has Dracula in it. So, like, the whole, there's, like, vampires in it. It's basically like a vampire demon thing. And Trevor Belmont is a demon slayer. So he kills, like, all the monsters that come out from hell. It's so good. Basically, ignorant villagers kill Mina Harker, who is married to Dracula in this world. And then Dracula goes mad and basically wants to kill the world and get rid of all humans. And Trevor Belmont has to stop him along with other characters. I didn't explain that very well. Just watch it. It's
just
on
watch
Netflix.
The show.
Everyone has Netflix. Just watch it. It's the, each episode is like 20 minutes long, and the first series I think only has like 6 or 7 episodes.
It's a but, quick yeah, one.
Yeah.
Nice. So my last pick is the one that I'm going to go with on the pretense of the central and earthy vibes and tone for the book. And I think that also could be some of the traits of a Taurus, and that's Reed Diggory from the Serpent and Dove series by Shelby Mahurin. I think that he's probably really good in the sense, well, obviously the whole series, again, the vibes of the series, I think, would embody that earthy tone because of the magic and how the magic is used, especially towards the end of the book. I think that it's good in that sense, but I also think he is very, very stubborn. Like, if I had to pick one trait for him, that's, like, my number one trait, and that's my number one trait for a Taurus, is the stubborn. Like, that's what I'm honing in on. but he's also, I feel, down to earth, and he is extremely loyal, even though sometimes his loyalty may be to the wrong thing, you know, but he is able to reevaluate and, you know, like, check himself. So I think that, yeah, he fits well with some of those things. Now, he is a virgin hero, so the sensual part is something he has to, like, grow into. I don't necessarily think that he would fit your hedonistic vibe, especially how he grew up and how he was raised to like be in the church and stuff. He's like a monk, exactly. So like he would not fit with that vibe, but I think he has all the other things. And then like going into like book two, where he does separate from that, I think that he does become a little bit more independent. So I think that that's something that he's like working through, but then his loyalty, he's still extremely loyal. So now his allegiance is no longer to the church, but it's to the woman he's in love with. So I think he's a somewhat decent Taurus, and I think that the series in general does have good vibes for a Taurus.
If it would speak in earthy, it definitely hasn't like an earthy feel. I haven't read the second book because one, the first book was just kind of average for me, and two, I've heard what happens in a second book, I can't do that to myself.
don't do that.
The one thing I loved about the first book gets destroyed, and my heart can't take it, so I'm not going to read it.
After I read the second, there's definitely no book three for me. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah, it's like my heart can't take this. Yeah. I just can't.
I really loved the first book. Like, for me, I really liked it. It was surprisingly something that I read, like, in one sitting the first time I read it. And then I was really excited for book two, and then book two happened. And I'm like, why? Why would you do this?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have an episode where I fully explain all my thoughts about
Serpent
and Dove. And to be fair, they're not, like, particularly negative. They're just like, I was very underwhelmed. Like, I'm just like, it was all right. I only really remember it because it's so popular. If it wasn't so popular, I would just not remember a single thing about this book, apart from the thing that gets destroyed in the second book. And I don't want to say what that thing is.
No, because that's sure extremely knows, extremely but, spoilery, but yeah.
Yeah. I was glad someone told me because I liked that thing so much that I was considering reading the second
thing.
Book. And once I got told, I'm like, nope.
Oh, God.
It's going to stay whole and complete and perfect in my mind, and I'm not going to read
that. That's it. It was just a standalone. It should have stayed a standalone.
It's fine. Do you know what? Oh, no, I did have one more. And that was Odd Thomas from Odd Thomas by Dean Koontz. And that was one that I think we, again, read for the podcast. I think he's definitely a laid-back kind of chill guy, despite, like, the craziness of Odd's life. He's definitely steadfast and loyal, like, to his girlfriend, to the town, and, like, oh, God. I think it was pretty sad what happened there. And if you're thinking about like pursuing like relentless and stubborn and stuff, like his whole life, I think, is an exercise in relentlessness and stubbornness, because he could kind of live a normal life, but he doesn't, because he's kind of stubborn in that he needs to do stuff with his gift and help where he can.
Yeah.
From memory. Hedonism, maybe not, like,
because
he doesn't
really
have much, and he doesn't really aspire to have much as well. Like, I'm pretty sure that's a thing in the book where he's like, I'm happy with what I've got. Like, so, I mean, maybe not those bits. And maybe that can come across as lazy, I don't know. But to me, he didn't come across lazy per se, but definitely kind of laid back, but also a fairly deep thinker, I thought. So Odd, I really enjoyed that book. I need to get reading the rest of the series. I think it made me cry.
Yeah, I think
the film
definitely made
the film made me cry. Did you ever watch the film?
Yeah. I think we talked about both things. There was the book and the movie. And I don't think I cried. It was sad, but I don't think I cried. I don't remember now.
We talked about it in the
episode.
Yeah. When the realization strikes at the end, and you know what's happened, you're like, it just killed me. And I think the film did it really well as well. Like, if you don't want to read the book, and to be honest, the book pacing is kind of slow, like
it was,
I feel like this is one of those occasions where actually the film really gets the essence of the book, and that, like, kind of, if you don't want to read the book, like, just watch the film, because it's such a such a good film. So yeah, those are definitely now all my picks. How accurate it is to
how accurate any of them are, who knows?
No, but all the books that I've spoken about are books that I have like really enjoyed. So if me talking about them has kind of encouraged you to read them, then I'm happy with that. I don't just like
same.
I don't think they're really Autorians. I think I just picked on one trait that I saw in one article and just went with it.
I probably just honed in on the stubborn and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna run with that.
Yeah. I wish I'd found more heroines. I because, you know, like it was a bit one-sided on my part, but I just found it really like, because I was looking at certain things, like you don't often find heroines that are lazy or seen as lazy or seen as really hedonistic, because I just don't think romance readers like to see that in their heroines. Yeah. And they're much
although,
more forgiving. They're so
although,
much more
like,
forgiving
the materialistic,
with their heroes.
The materialistic is probably good with the Valkyries and the Immortals After Dark series. I was trying to something like that way when you were like talking about it. But I don't know if I would apply any of the other things to like one in particular.
No. Like, hedonistic, though, like, that's definitely a Valkyrie from the Cressley Cole series.
Because when you add the laid-back part, like, it crosses all of them off the list.
Yeah, I mean, they're laid-back in some ways, but not in others, right? Like, yeah. As in, they don't give a shit. If you feel like that is a component of being laid-back, then that's definitely the Valkyries, because they just, unless it's a particular thing, like, they just don't care. They're definitely loyal, though.
Yeah, yeah.
They're definitely loyal, like, especially to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to their allies, but it's more about their, like, loyalty to each other.
Yeah, that's the core.
If we're speaking about, like, the essence of things, like, if we're going to go for the hedonistic but loyal and, like, I'm sure I read somewhere that, like, a tourist was a lot of fun, and I feel like they are definitely, like, if you want to party with anyone, you want to party with the Valkyries.
And the witches.
After Dark series.
Oh, like, and if the you combine the witches and the Valkyries from Immortals After Dark, like, that's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, for sure. Because if you think about it, with the witches, they're basically mercenaries. So the way they show their worth to their witch house, or I can't remember how they're set up now, is like the gold that they bring in. Because Mariquita was like really about that. She really wanted to win the Talisman High because she wanted to bring like riches back to her coven.
Mm.
Coven. Why did I say house? Her witch coven. Of course it's a coven. So yeah. Yeah, that has that vibe to it for sure. I'll think of other things when we've stopped recording. I'll be like, oh damn, I should have said that, but never mind. There's some good books we spoke about.
Yeah, definitely there. Lots of good recs.
Yeah, so read all those. So thanks for listening, guys. As I said, if you're a Taurus, let us know how wrong we got it if you want. I mean, we are aware. I feel... But it's equal opportunity so far, because I think we've offended every star sign that we've done recommendations for, because we always kind of get it wrong or narrow in to like the worst trait. Like, we always do something. But next week we'll be giving the zodiac signs a little bit of a rest, and we'll be talking Blaze of Memory by Nalini Singh, which I think is book 7 in the series, the Psy Changeling series. So, I don't know about you, Francesca, but I am both really excited about rereading this, but also kind of dreading it, because I've only actually read this one once, and I remember thinking it was a weaker book in the series. I don't think I actively disliked it or anything. I just remember thinking it was a weaker book.
Same.
That was about a decade ago, so when I first read this. So, you know, it's been a while, but do you know what? Like, thinking about the book and what's in it, I have a gut feeling that I'm actually going to like it more the second time round. I just have this feeling that I'm going to enjoy it
I hope so, because I felt the same way as you did when I read it the first time, and I've only read it once because I feel like it's one of the weaker books in the series. Same, I did not dislike it, but I remember it being one of my lower ratings until the DNF, that's like later on. But it was like one of the weaker ones, and I'm like you, like I'm excited to reread it because I feel like maybe I'm going to enjoy it more. Because it's been so long, we've read so many other books, and I know my taste has changed, and I'm sure, I'm going to pick up on other things that maybe I didn't before. So, and honestly, I really liked the, I found the hero of that book interesting. Like, even when I first read it, I was really looking forward to his book, because I was excited to read more about him. So, I don't know, I'm excited, but I'm also nervous because I feel like I'm building up that excitement that it's going to be better. And if it's the same, it's going to be even more disappointing for me. But we'll see.
Because the hero in this one is Dev Santos, who we met. Santos, however, I can't pronounce things. And we met him in Clay's book, I think. So he's the head of the Shine Foundation and the Forgotten. And I feel like one of the reasons, and we'll probably need to go more on this in the actual episode, but one of the reasons that we liked it less than the others, because it's the first book without a changeling hero or heroine.
Yeah, it was a big change of pace.
It's a human Psy pairing. Which is the first one in the series. But obviously, since then, we've read through all the books and we've seen other pairings similar. But this was like a shock to the system the first time you read it. And you're like, oh.
You're missing that changeling spark, because like they bring that intensity to the stories. And you're right. It was the first time like that was plucked out of the series. And when I first read the series, I binged them one after the other. So I think that probably had something to do with it. Like, I was on a roll because, you know, six books of changeling. Even though there is a different dynamic when it's a changeling on changeling and then when it's a changeling with a Psy. But now you remove the changelings and all of that intensity that comes with that in a romance, it's gone. So, I'm interested. Yeah. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, same. And it's also like the pack, like in the background, that setting of being in that pack structure is gone. Like, and it's just not, and it's such a warm, loving environment. Like, even when all this other shit's going on, like the pack are there. Yeah. And that is just completely removed.
Yes.
I think they're still in it. The changelings are still in it, but obviously you're not seeing their point of view anymore. You're not in their culture. But yeah, maybe we should save some of this for the end of the episode.
Yes.
But, but either way, I am kind of, I'm more excited than nervous about reading it, to be honest, because this is one of the few books of Nalini Singh's that I haven't reread. So that'll be fun. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to that. But thank you very much for joining us, guys. You have listened to us waffle on for quite a while now. If you enjoyed our waffle, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It would really help us out, and it would also really help us out if you could rate us 5 lovely stars, if you please. You don't have to write us a review, but if you could just give us a stars, that would be fantastic. And if you want to follow us, you can follow The Fangover at Insta at The Fangover. Also, check out thefangover.com, where there's lots of good stuff. And also, we are on Facebook. And then, if you loved hearing me, you can hear more of me on Instagram at Tales of Suzanne. And on underthecoversbookblog.com.
And you can find me on Insta at UTCBookBlog and underthecoversbookblog.com.
Great. Thank you, and we will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.